news, conversation, and events. This has been the Tuesday morning edition of On the River. I am Pat Miller. And
earlier this year, Los Angeles punk icons X released what they say is their final studio album. If that's indeed the case, then they're going out swinging. Big Black X, one of the songs from the new album Smokin' Fiction. It's a stroll down memory lane that looks back at the punk scene they came up in. But as frontman John Doe points out, they're not looking back to get emotional on you.
Nostalgia is an exaggerated fantasy of the past.
Doe, along with Exene Cervenka, joined me to talk about why this is the last album and their final proper tour. Plus, we'll get the backstory on their unusual music documentary, X, The Unheard Music.
Well, I hated every second of it. I was so mad at those guys, and I got so drunk during some of that stuff. I just hated it.
Plus, they play live in studio. It's X. Coming up, I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with a special edition of the Up North Report. Last year, Minnesota amended its renewable energy standard. The law requires electric utilities to use 55% renewable energy like wind and solar by 2035. By 2040, electricity generation must be completely carbon-free, which also includes sources like hydroelectric, hydrogen, and biomass. The Center for Rural Affairs is a Nebraska-based policy institute. It says Minnesota has the potential to take advantage of steady growth in industries like solar. But first, changes need to be made to the state's energy transmission system.
We're thinking about our transmission system like a highway for electricity, moving our power from where it's produced to the cities and communities that are needing it.
Cora Hoffer is a clean energy policy associate based in Minnesota for the center. She hopes two new fact sheets from the Policy Center focused on transmission and solar energy will help people understand where we are at in the clean energy transition, as well as the opportunities and challenges ahead.
I think Minnesota is in a really great position. We've had some monumental energy bills, climate bills over the last few sessions. So I think we are setting ourselves up, but I think there is still some challenges that exist within that. There's a big challenge we're facing with limited capacity on our electric grid, as well as permitting delays, which is slowing the pace of installing renewable energy projects like wind and solar. So this inadequate transmission capacity makes it really difficult to connect new renewable energy projects and also increases the cost of power that's being delivered onto our system. But there's some great opportunities that we could take advantage of through investing in our transmission system and also addressing those permitting delays. Minnesota will be able to tap into the economic and environmental benefits that renewable energy industry offers. This is including creation of jobs, also allowing for the development of renewable energy projects to bring cost-effective, reliable, and also affordable energy onto our grid. And then in addition, tying back in that policy aspect, when we're thinking about this in the context of Minnesota's 100% clean electricity by 2040 law, we're going to need the capacity on our electric grid to allow for the connections of renewable energy projects that's going to help support the state's new mandate working towards that.
When Minnesota Power announced its new Boswell Solar Project in Cohasset back in September, the company said the new project was expected to be online by mid-2027, but it noted construction is contingent on regulatory approvals.
Last Minnesota State legislative session, there was a permitting reform bill passed, and its purpose was to help remove some of the barriers that were within the former permitting process to help cut down on those timelines. I think it's also just with that playing the game of like catch up and getting these projects through, but also tied to that is the transmission capacity issue. Like we don't have enough room on our electric grid to get all these projects online. So that permitting process delays combined with our capacity constraints, they're really like playing together in order to get these systems online.
Hoffer says if these challenges aren't addressed, Minnesota won't meet its clean energy goals.
As of right now, like, we need more capacity within our system to, you know, tie in those new renewable energy projects to reach those goals. So if we're not addressing these issues, I don't think we're going to, or the state has the ability to reach those goals we have set.
That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. In advance of the upcoming Veterans Day holiday on November 11th, Attorney General Keith Ellison is warning Minnesota's veterans about claim shark companies. These companies prey on veterans and family members who are seeking Veterans Affairs benefits. A claim shark is an individual or company that illegally charges fees to assist or consult veterans with filing their VA benefit claims. Claim sharks are not VA accredited as required by federal law. They target veterans or family members of veterans with aggressive and deceptive advertising. They then convince the veteran or family member to sign contracts with deceptive or unfair terms that require payment of large fees or even a percentage of
benefits. Welcome to World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. This sometimes includes— Earlier this year, X, the venerable, genre-breaking, trailblazing punk band from Los Angeles, announced their final studio album, Smoke and Fiction, as well as a final tour. If X are indeed calling it a day in the studio, then they're giving us one last chance to see them in action, the way you might have experienced them back in 1980 in Los Angeles, a dark, sweaty club. Today, John Doe, Exene Cervenka, DJ Bonebreak, and Billy Zoom join me to play songs in our brightly lit studios, but we can pretend it's the Roxy since we're on the radio and all. Even though it's been over 40 years since their debut, these punk icons still sound as urgent as ever. Plus, Doe and Cervenka will talk about X's present and past, including their 1986 documentary, X the Unheard Music. Finished product was fascinating. The experience was another matter entirely. Our session gets underway with the song off of Smoke and Fiction. It's X with Ruby Church.
We'll be right back.
Recorded live in studio, it's X, Ruby Church, song from their ninth studio album, Smokin' Fiction. After 47 years, the Los Angeles punk band featuring Billy Zoom, DJ Bonebreak, Exene Cervenka, and John Doe are out on their final tour supporting their final album, Smokin' Fiction. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Exene, John, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun being here.
So you guys are on the road right now. X, a band that is always on the road. Since announcing that this was going to be your final tour, had you noticed anything in terms of a difference when it comes to the audience and the energy that you're getting from them?
Absolutely, yes. And the energy is incredible. And there's a lot of more young people. We always get some, but now it's like people really want to come see us. But the final tour is going to drag on and on. You know, they all do.
Mm-hmm. How's it felt from your side looking out?
In smaller markets, there's probably double the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just nice. Final tour, it's more like the final club tour.
That's why I made a joke and said, these kind of things just drag. That was a joke.
Very subtle.
Yes, very subtle.
Dry
humor.
We're just not going to do 80 shows a year.
I totally get it. Yeah,
we'll do 20.
It is the final tour, the final album, but it is not the farewell.
I think it's the final record. Full LP.
There are a lot of reasons, I'm sure, that go into it, but why was now the right time to say, you know what, like... just kind of want to have this clean break, saying we're going to stop touring and this is probably the last album.
You know, I think that when you get older, it gets harder physically. Yeah. And, you know, we do van tours and we do like, you know, Holiday Inn Express and, you know, stuff like that. A lot of in and out of the van, a lot of up and downstairs, a lot of, you know, it's just hard. It's just physically grueling. But the stage part's great.
Yeah, that still feels good.
Know? Yeah. And especially now because people are just, I mean, sometimes it's just like, they're having so much fun that it's just a great show. The show I'm watching is better than the show they're watching.
Yeah, that's
what I always think. But I mean, I'm not complaining. People have harder jobs, you know, and they go to work every day. But you know, it does get a little bit hard. But you know, yeah.
How about for you, John?
Getting up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty vital. But nobody wants to be part of something where the wheels are getting wobbly. I mean, we don't want to do that. And so I was like, quit while you're ahead. Or slow down a little bit, and then maybe you can go a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
As far as making the record, being a last record, it's like so much effort in addition to touring in 2023 or 2022. Maybe Exene and I started working in earnest and writing the songs. It's like you write the song, you rewrite the song, you've learned it once, you learned it a different time, you throw away all the music and say, well, I still like the lyrics, but I don't like this part of it. And I don't like the story that it's telling. And we did that with a bunch of stuff. So just that effort. And I'm really proud of the songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of having a piece of work, you know.
Can you talk a little bit further about that?
Well, I think a lot of people just put out singles and they just have videos. But if you take 2, 3, whatever years... and you put the experience that you've had in that time, what's influenced you in that time, in addition to all your life, then it's a record of that. It's a mirror of that. And I think that's valuable. You get a broader idea of what happens to an artist if they're into it.
Very cool. We're talking with John Doe and Exene Cervenka here on World Cafe. The new album from X is available now. It is their final studio album. It's called Smokin' Fiction. We are going to talk about the record and being at Sound City in just a moment, but we want to get into another performance right now here on World Cafe. This is Water and Wine.
We'll be right back. Recorded live in studio, it's X with Water and Wine, originally on their 2020 album, Alphabet Land. X is on their last proper tour currently, and their final studio album, Smoke and Fiction, is out now. My guests are John Doe and Exene Cervenka of X. This is World Cafe. Exene, did you know that this was going to be the last proper studio album when you started working on it?
No, I don't really think too much about tomorrow's. I just kind of do what I'm doing. I think it just became... See, the thing is, it's a lot of hard work. And then you have to rehearse. And John lives in Texas, so he would fly out. And we'd rehearse the songs for like 4 days. And then he'd go back to Texas. And then he'd come back out a month later. And we'd go, now, how did that go again? And it took so long to get the songs till we could play them live. It's just, there's so many songs in our heads. And I really think of the amount of work and effort that went into it was a lot. But I don't, you know, I still don't believe it's the last record because I don't care about like people making those pronouncements because... You never really know, do you, about anything. And I people say that, I go, but I don't know that because I don't know tomorrow what's going to happen. What if somebody gives us $10 million and says, you guys, you can relax. You can take all this time in the studio. You can have any equipment you want. You can bring people in. You can have this really wonderful time. You can go somewhere and write songs together.
Sure.
And I'm going to make sure that happens because I just want one more X record. Then we'd make an X record. That's not going to happen.
So why make the pronouncement if we're not closing off tomorrow?
Well, because 99% chance it is.
Fair enough.
But I'm just saying, like, that's why you always have those things where you never know about things. But I feel like, you know, the amount of work that went into it and everything, that this is good. We're good to stop. Yeah. This is a good stopping.
And I felt like as the record developed,
mm-hmm.
Then there was a reflective quality to it, like the Big Black X.
Sure.
Definitely. If someone said to me, what was it like? I'm 18 years old. What was it like in 1978?
Yeah.
And I only have 3 minutes because I have, attention deficit problems. And say, here, listen to this song. And this is a lot of images from that time. This is a lot of what our ethos was like. And also the idea of not getting taken, not getting...
swept away.
Well, not just settling or
brainwashed.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So anyway, it was more like as the record developed, and I thought, well, I've used these chord changes. I've used these chords. And like, oh God, can I? What other chord changes? but it was the lyrics more than anything that was like that song Ruby Church or Your Face in the Moon, which was like Exene wrote the chorus to that and. I made up the story. It was kind of based on an experience with Black Randy, who was a total nut.
Yeah.
I mean, clinically, I think. But anyway, it felt like it developed.
There's something else I wanted to bring up. It's like I wanted really bad to make a studio album again, and nobody else did. But eventually, we got to the point where we went in and made Alphabet Land. And we made it, and it ended in February, right when the pandemic started.
Yeah, it was the worst timing ever.
So we couldn't tour it.
Right.
And we had this whole plan of when it was going to come out, and so we just had to drop it. And if that pandemic hadn't happened, that might have been our last record.
Right.
Because we weren't thinking past that, making another record past that. But when that got all mucked up, like everybody's lives, it was just like, okay, let's make a record this time and tour. And make a record and people can hear it.
To have that experience, I imagine.
So I think it might have been our last record last time if that damn panic hadn't happened.
Yeah. We talked about Big Black X for a second. You know, John, you mentioned it. Exene, you said you wanted to avoid being wistful or nostalgic with your writing when it came to that song.
Yeah.
I'm curious why.
Because that's kind of like weak. And it's kind of like Hallmark Channel or something. It's like, it's great to remember things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes people think that we had this great moment and that was a really long time ago. We really miss it. We've just been, life is a continuation. It doesn't stop and start again. It wasn't like 45 years ago we had some fun. It wasn't like we were in college 80 years ago and we were football players and that one game we'll never forget.
Right.
You know, it's just like life just goes on, but those were funny moments and funny recollections. And, I write about things that happened in the past because I think it's interesting. I don't know why that song, we kind of wrote it in the studio. I was just writing that stuff in the studio, and then John and I started writing it back and forth, and we just did it, you know? And so, like the Alphabet Land, there's a poetry thing in there that I wrote in the studio. So, you know, it's just something to do. I don't know. We've written so many songs, and some of them are about that time and some of them aren't. But yeah, that one it does stand out. Yeah.
I chose that word reflective intentionally because nostalgia is an exaggerated fantasy of the past.
Yeah, it's an important distinction.
So yeah, I can be nostalgic about certain things like kids growing up and things like that. But you want to be, like Xene's saying, no Hallmark version of that, because we were like living on ramen and things like that. And
they didn't
and it
have
was
ramen then.
Spaghetti and ketchup.
They didn't have ramen.
Right.
That was
spaghetti and
it.
Ketchup.
But that's an accurate picture of your life as opposed to what can happen when you get wistful.
And you take the good with the bad, and it's like touring was really difficult. Anyway. So,
yeah, okay.
Yes, you can play some of it.
Let's take a look, John, with the awesome cue. Let's listen to Big Black X here on World Cafe. Cafe, it's X with Big Black X. It is from their new album, which is available now, Smoke and Fiction. You know, we talked a little bit about writing just with Big Black X. How have your writing routines changed, you know, over the years? How have they evolved? Xene?
Not changed at all.
Really? It's still with a notepad and pen and that's how it goes?
Yeah. I just write stuff and then I keep it all, and then there's a line here and a line there, and I find a piece of paper that I like that I forgot I wrote, and I add it to something I wrote last week that I wrote 30 years ago or 15 years ago or something. And then when we're working on songs, I just send a bunch of stuff to John, and we craft them back and forth. And sometimes I write the whole song top to bottom, but usually because of the music, it has to change a little bit.
Sure.
So he's always done that. Like, I'll write a song like Your Phone's Off the Hook or New World or something, and he has to make it fit music. And that's what we've learned to do together. And yeah, it's the same for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. Sometimes it's minimum editing, just like to keep the meter right or the rhythm correct. And then other times, like I was saying, you'd throw out whole sections and then different music and stuff like that. But I generally work on inspiration, and then once something's done, the fun work happens, and but I still try not to be too logical or intellectual. I still tap into that. Just write what feels good. Mm-hmm. Write what feels correct. But changing the little connecting words and things like that, like in rather than on. Or
is that the fun part?
But
You like the editing, the punching up, or
But still, you don't do it with like your pipe and your tweed jacket. You still do it with like, oh, this makes it cooler because it's in, it's not on.
Yeah.
It's really good because we can be singing a song and go, hey, John, that first part doesn't work at all. I don't like it. And he'll go, okay. I go, but that other line's great. Why don't you put that first? He'll go, okay. And so we can do that, you know, now. And he can slice things up, and I'll go like, okay, I appreciate that you sliced that up.
And that's recent, because in the past I had a bigger ego, and I would say, no, this is the way the song goes.
Right.
And that's sorry.
You can't say that.
That's bull crap.
I can't say that.
We say down
either.
In Texas, that's bull crap. Because you wrote it once.
Yeah.
You made up some lyrics, you made up some music. And so just do it again. If it's not working, no, that's the way it goes, damn it.
Delivered from the heavens by,
yeah, it's
you
like,
know,
like that's
God.
Insane. But that's just your ego talking. So I think it was mostly the break before we made Alphabet Land.
Yeah.
And working on some solo stuff and then realizing that I want Billy to be able to play stuff that shows what he is good at. Mm-hmm. I want DJ to have the opportunity to play what he's known for. And so if we tailor some of the music or the way the song's structured to that, cool. And just get over yourself. And like Xene's saying, I don't like that part. Change it. And sometimes I'll go, oh, I did like that part. But then I realize, okay, what the hell? I'll just do something different.
This is World Cafe here with X. Xene and John are my guests. So part of prepping for this interview was a chance for me to go back in time and go back to class when it came to X. And part of that was watching a documentary that I had not seen, never had the privilege of seeing, X, The Unheard Music, released back in 1986. And it really felt like a trip. I was 7 in 1986, so I was a little bit removed from that. Not a spring chicken, but I'm also, you know, wasn't really familiar with it. And it's an incredible piece of media, because they don't make media like this. It really felt like I had seen the pages of a zine ripped to life, like when you see Silver Age imagery from movies, vignettes, the title cards, the vignettes. It was a really interesting thing to feel, to watch and be a part of. And I was curious what it felt to be making that documentary and what the band was like at that time in 1986.
Well, I hated every second of it. I was so mad at those guys, and I got so drunk during some of that stuff. Oh. I just hated it. Let me tell you something. This has a better ending than you're going to think.
Okay.
I love them now, and I'm really grateful to them, and I think it is a great movie, just from a, you know, if I can get away from it as it being about us.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. Great documentary. They did a great job. They were just UCLA students who would scrape together money and go beg people for money. And they would get like $10,000 and they would spend it. But it was film.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to do. But what I didn't like was, when we would have to film a song, they would set us up in this place and we would film a song and we would have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over. And they were constantly following us around and getting in our faces. And constantly, every time I turn around, I'd be like, oh, and And then there would be just this camera like that, and I didn't like it.
It was somewhat punishing. The reason that it has so much scope is because it was filmed over 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. And it was Bill Morgan, the W.T. Morgan. Bill was from USC. It was USC Film School.
USC.
Maybe some of the other ones. Anyway, so. Like Xene's saying, they would raise 10 grand, they would buy film. They had a 16 millimeter camera in their trunk, mm-hmm. which is how they got the house moving. Everett, or the John Mansour, the camera guy, said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, get the hell out of bed. There's a house being moved through Highland Park, which is a very old section of LA. Come over here. And then he jumped in the house.
Yeah.
And was like, it just got to a stop sign and just got out of the car and jumped in the house with the camera. So it was punishing. It was like, we got some more money. We just want to do one more thing. We got some more money. We just want to do one more thing. And
it never ended.
But what happened is that we developed the arc of the movie through 4 years, because during that time we were on Slash and just beginning to play, say 1978 or 79. And they were just fans. Bill and Chris, what's his name? Blakely was the producer. And they loved the band. They thought this is worthwhile. And what to me makes it worthy is that it shows a lot of different aspects of being in a band and the history that you have to come with in order to have something to say, stuff like that. So you get creation of a song, you see Xene in her studio, you see the band playing live, and they were smart enough to make it look really good at the end and sound really good. It looks and sounds good, and there's a lot of documentaries where the sound is bad.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, what's the point? I mean, there's this whole, like, oh, this is so great, and I'm watching this thing, and you're being told this is so amazing, and it's so incredible, and then you see it, and it's like, it's not really that great. It doesn't sound that good. And you're going like, well, what's the whole deal? So the fact that it delivered at the end, and Xene's totally right. We played those songs 2, 3, 4 times in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. So the audience was like, Jesus, what's going on? Do we have to listen to that same damn song again?
So everyone was being punished then?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like a probably 4 or 5 hour experience. Anyway, It's a great document of a period of time with some somewhat interesting people, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. We're talking to X here on World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Smoking Fiction. Who lyrically? Where did that begin?
I wrote all those words to that song.
That was one of those lyric sheets that I didn't have to do a whole lot to switch it around.
I rewrite it a lot, though, because they had to find all those rhymes.
Oh, that's right. And there was like a missing line at the end of each verse, or some of them.
But I like it because, again, like a lot of my songs on the last two records, well, I think a lot of my songs, there's a spiritual side to things and a kind of otherworldly side to things.
Mm-hmm.
And a multidimensional, not just real, you know. A lot of my songs have that.
Let's take a listen to it right now. It's X with Smoking Fiction here on World Cafe. Recorded live in studio, it's X with Smoking Fiction. It's the title track of their ninth studio album. Please catch them on tour. It's your chance to see them in a sweaty club. Otherwise, you're going to have to make more exclusive arrangements in the future. I want to thank DJ Bonebreak, Billy Zoom, Exene Cervenka, John Doe, and the touring member, Craig Packham, all playing in studio today. Thank you both so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
You did a great job, and I appreciate it very much. We all do.
We'll be back in a minute with more World Cafe.
The World Cafe is brought to you by Northern Community Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. We receive support from the Blandin Foundation, Strengthening Rural Minnesota. More at blandinfoundation.org. The We Are Clinic in Brainerd offers a support group for those who are trans, gender expansive, or nonconforming and questioning on the second Wednesday of each month at 5:30. Meetings are held virtually. For more info, go to wearebrainerd.org. Headwaters Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Bemidji will host a parent meeting Wednesday, November 13th at 6 p.m. to share information about the Our Whole Lives classes that will be offered in January. Learn more at headwatersfellowship.weebly.com. Support comes from the Minnesota Historical Society, presenting holiday sleigh rides at the Forest History Center in Grand Rapids, featuring a horse-drawn sleigh ride through the Northwoods to make holiday memories in the great outdoors. Private group reservations available upon request. More information at mnhs.info/forest-holiday. And now back to the World Cafe.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Thanks so much to John Doe, Exene Cervenka, Billy Zoom, and DJ Bonebreak. X, their final studio album, is available now. It is called Smoke and Fiction. You can see video of that performance at worldcafe.org. Thanks to producer Miguel Perez for his work on the session. Let's get back into music and let's jump back to 1980. While X was putting out Los Angeles on the West Coast, there was an East Coast band that had pretty much established themselves in the world of new wave and post-punk. Talking Heads, here's Born Under Punches on World Cafe.
I never got my name back.
Debut album from The Beat dropped in 1980, or as they were known stateside, The English Beat, back when you could reasonably make regional claims about your band. The internet ruined everything. Not true. Can't Get Used to Losing You. Roger, Dave, Andy, and the gang, The English Beat. More from 1980 when we get back to World Cafe.
We appreciate you listening to The World Cafe on Northern Community Radio. My name is Dan Gannon. The Edge Center Gallery in Big Fork presents Sharing Native Heritage Through Art, November 14th through December 15th, featuring paintings by Jason Two Feathers Hurdler and drums made by Chris Baldwin. There is an artist reception on Friday, December 6th from 5 to 7. Programming on KAXE KBXE is supported in part by the Bush Foundation, partnering with the Good Relatives Collaborative to announce the 2024 Bush Prize. Native Nations honorees, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and the Lakota Nation Invitational. More information about the honorees and the Bush Prize is online at bushfoundation.org. We'd like to thank Itasca Reliable Insurance Agency, handling a complete line of auto, home, business insurance, and more. Located on East Highway 169 in Grand Rapids, online at itascareliableinsurance.com. Let's get back to more from the World Cafe on KAXE KBXE.
You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo, and digging into music released in 1980. And David Bowie was fresh off his trilogy, which was critically acclaimed but not commercially successful. So he and Tony Visconti had a plan, and that plan was Scary Monsters and Super Creeps. Released in 1980, it had more of a commercial sensibility and was a top 15 record for Bowie. Here is Ashes to Ashes on World Cafe.
Tells far away. The shrieking of nothing. Let's go! is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
It's our last stop in 1980. I'm a Rocker, Bruce Springsteen from the River. Also heard the Ramones, Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio, and David Bowie at the top. Thanks again to X. Their latest album, Smoke and Fiction, is available now, and that does it for us. We make this show from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org. And by the Cy Sims Foundation, partnering with organizations and people since 1985, working for a better and more just future for all. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org.
You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley-Bemidji. We're Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator